A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Welcome to another edition of Bearing Arms, Cam and Company. My name is Cam Edwards. Glad you're with me on the program today. We're going to be talking with Nolan Howard, firearms instructor up in the Boston, Massachusetts area, one of several black firearms instructors who were recently profiled by the Boston Globe in what may be the most positive piece on gun owners that the Boston Globe has ever published. The Washington Post is bad. New York Times is bad. Chicago Tribune is bad. Most USA Today, most national newspapers, or most newspapers with a national footprint, are pretty hostile to our right to keep and bear arms. The Boston Globe, they really take it to another level. And yet, in this recent story on the growing number of black gun owners in Massachusetts, the paper actually managed to play it straight, which was nice to see. I wish and hope that it's the start of a trend, but I did want to reach out to Nolan and get his thoughts both on the coverage of the story as well as what's actually happening on the ground in Massachusetts, because it is, I think, a fascinating story there where we do see more folks who are recognizing the importance of exercising their right to keep and bear arms. And you've got this outreach to, frankly, an underserved community, right? The state of Massachusetts is so hostile to our right to keep and bear arms. We've talked about this before with Nolan and Jim Wallace and Toby Leary. You know, the state doesn't make it easy for anybody to exercise your Second Amendment rights, but particularly if you live in an urban environment like Boston, the opportunities for training and education have historically been few and far between. But you've got guys like Nolan who are working to change that. And I was pleased that Nolan could spend a couple of minutes with us. Actually did the interview last night talking about this Boston Globe story and the students that are showing up in Nolan's classes. Take a look and a listen. Nolan, thanks very much for coming to the show, man. It's good to see you again.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And, man, you're turning into a local celebrity there in the Boston area.
I wouldn't say that just yet.
All right, give it a little time. But you were among a number of firearms instructors that were recently profiled in the Boston Globe talking about the growing number of black gun owners in the Boston area. And I got to say, Nolan, the Boston Globe is one of the most Second Amendment hostile papers in the country. I mean, it's bad. I thought, a pretty fair story. I thought they gave you pretty fair coverage. What do you think?
I'm just as shocked as you. I spoke to some other guys in the community. I was like, hey, take a look at the article. I'm like, they're like, they actually give you a fair shot to compare to like everybody else. I think it's just because of the perspective. So I don't know. Maybe I probably put them in a corner. I don't know. Maybe I kind of put them on the tippy toes. I don't know. But I think it's just, I'm shocked. And even by me boosting it on social media, it's just, I gained a lot of followers and, you know, people who are thanking me, hey, this is great. You're doing the Lord's work. Yeah, this is great. And, you know, I'm part of the two-way community here in Massachusetts. It's a small win, but it's, you know, it's shocking. So,
well, you know, it is. I mean, you talk about this being a small win, but, you know, listen, I mean, there are a lot of liberals in Massachusetts who, you know, think they know better, right? Mm-hmm. And I think have this very paternalistic attitude towards gun ownership in general.
Yeah.
But I think this is hopefully going to be an eye-opening article for some of them. Yeah. Understanding that, so there are legitimate reasons why people want to keep and bear arms. And it's not just people who frankly look like me, who want to exercise their Second Amendment rights, right?
Right. It's no longer like that, the old way. It's for everybody, you know. So it's just, I try not to play that race card because it doesn't get you nowhere. But it's an eye opener. And it's never been done in Massachusetts before. So. Yeah, I think it's a kind of in the right, you know, going in the right direction, you know, because it's going on across the nation.
I mean, listen, I don't think the Boston Globe is going to change its tone or coverage.
No.
When it comes to the right to keep our arms, right? I think the next time we see an editorial from the Boston Globe, it's going to be all in favor of gun control. But again, I mean, just the fact that they are noticing what's going on, I think it's newsworthy in and of itself. And so let me ask you, I mean, because it's been a couple of months since we've talked.
Mm-hmm.
How is business? Are you seeing a lot of new gun owners coming to you, people who want to become gun owners?
Yeah, I've seen a little uptick, you know, but I guess that's after this article, it just went boom. So, you know, but I've seen an uptick. It's happening. I think people are paying attention to what's going on, you know, especially in the urban areas or across the nation in general. It's like, it's getting a little scary. So it's time to do what we got to do. And
yeah.
That's why I just try to tell. I told the newspaper article. I'm like, people are taking their own lives in their own hands. Like, you are your own first responder. The police are not there to save you. Because if something went down, the police are going to lock down themselves, and you're going to have to take care of yourselves. So, I think it's just, you know, it's people are finally recognizing. So.
Yeah. I'm curious. How aware are your students of the gun laws in Massachusetts generally, and then the new ones that just came are still coming online, I guess?
I think it's just everyone's still, I tell them in the, you know, about the laws, you know, pay attention and go to goals, pay what's going on. And some of them are very paying, others pay attention to them more. But even us, there's still a lot of people who don't know this new law stuff. They don't know what's going on when Jim Moss is doing this, you know, monthly meetings with, you know, the state committee and stuff like that and all that. So it's just things are just constantly going, changing, and they're dropping this, or this is changing, or this is staying. And it's.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's part of the problem is that, you know, even the folks who study the law and who want to know what the laws are have a really hard time knowing what the laws are. And I think that's
these guys don't know. They don't know what they're talking about. So
that's by design. But all right. So let me ask this another way. Maybe are the because there's a difference between a gun owner and a Second Amendment activist, right? I mean, you are a Second Amendment activist as well as a gun owner. And not every gun owner is a Second Amendment activist. So
right.
Are your students interested? Are they invested in their rights? Are they asking you how to become a member of NAGA, for example?
Yeah,
is that something that they want to do?
They do. After every class, I bring that out. I bring it up. I say, hey, listen, we're the only black gun club in the whole state of Massachusetts. You know, if you want to be part of a bigger something that's like a brotherhood, sisterhood, you know, that is the place, you know, to be. Anybody can join. Doesn't have to be predominantly in the black neighborhood. But it gives them a self, you know, it gives them pride. You know, we finally have something like, oh, this is something for us. Because usually in things in Boston, when it happens, we either get closed down or, you know, we don't have anything. And it's just ever since like the Black Lives Matter thing, it kind of made things a little bit harder. So, you know, because it has that notion with it, all that money they made and they didn't do anything with it. So, you know, that's the other part, you know, we're dealing with. But when you talk about the process, like, hey, listen, we do training 2 times a month, you know, the first and third day of each month, we alternate, we go to different gun ranges, you know, for members only. And then, you know, we tell people, hey, like, we have events, like, come through. Talk about who we are, you know, who we are, what we do, and they get a pride sense of it. So,
you know, in addition to that pride, I gotta imagine that finding that community is so important too, right? Because
it is.
I mean, it is. Just gun owners in general in Massachusetts. I mean, I imagine it's real easy to feel alone if you're not a member of a gun club, if you don't have friends who shoot,
yeah,
you're new to this, right?
Yeah, you don't know where to turn. You're like, I don't know where to go. You know, so it's well, if you do meet some people, you know, you do meet some people, nice people at the range and stuff. But yeah, when you are by yourself, it's kind of like a journey. And then you stumble and you find other people. It's like you hold on to those certain people and you can make good friendships out of that, you know, in the two-way community. So it's like that. I think the whole state is like that. So, you know, when you're in that, you got pockets. When you're in those pockets, you got to stay in those pockets.
Right.
So that's the only thing I really can say. As a new gunner, if you do find stumble people, you know, if you find some people, all you new owners, stay in those pockets. Make connections.
Yep. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, speaking of connections, I'm going to be up there in, I guess, 19 days for the Gunners, actually, 250th Dinner of Lexington and Concord. I hope that I get a chance to meet you in person. It's going to be a pretty quick trip, but I would love to actually like get a chance to shake your hand in person, because I always enjoy our conversations. I mean, honestly, I am so grateful for your activism and what you're doing to educate folks there in Massachusetts, because we need it. You need it. Yeah. I mean, you know, this is Massachusetts. The anti-gun policies don't stay there. They get exported around the country. So what happens there impacts gun owners all across the country. Mm-hmm. And I think it's, you know, because of folks like you, because of groups like Goal, if there is a turnaround in the state, it's going to be because of your actions. It's going to be because of your activism.
Yeah, it's happening around the world. I mean, look at Rhode Island. Rhode Island's trying to ban everything.
Right.
People in Rhode Island's just like, nope, we're not having it. And it just there's a whole bunch of yellow shirts just there. It's like, we're not doing this. So it's everywhere, you know? So, I mean, but it's just, it's other people than just me. I mean, you got people like, you know, had people like Derek from CCS.
Yep.
When he did this past thing this summer, you had, I mean, when I brought the Mass GOP to the big, you know, that thing, you have, you know, guys from Goals, they're a bunch of other people. You got, who else who I can think of? Come off two-way, those guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you got a bunch of other people who are doing that. I mean, you even got other people, just regular people who train together and try to be activists. And, you know, a bunch, even all the FFLs who just want, you know, what's going on. They're being proactive.
Absolutely.
So it's not just me. It's everybody in Massachusetts, because some of these things is their living. You know, the FFL is their living. It pays the family for the, you know, the family and their business. So it's just, it's everybody, really. And I think it shows you within the matter of, I think, 5 weeks, we got 100,000 certified signatures.
Right.
Even though it's part of that coalition, I'm here for the Boston area. It's just people from all, like, you know, walks of life just came together and said, no, we're not doing this. But the state still hasn't done anything. So it's just, yeah.
And, I mean, you talk about that grassroots effort, close to 100,000 signatures in 5 weeks, and that law would have been placed on hold except for Governor Healy, you know, signed that emergency proclamation and then immediately suspended like a whole bunch of portions of the law. But, you know, I mean, you talk about the grassroots community there and the folks who, and I didn't mean to suggest, by the way, that Nolan, that you were the only person advocating for the Second Amendment in Massachusetts. But, you know, those folks who like went to the state fair and collected signatures, people who gave up their weekends, right? I mean, they, you know, can somebody take my kid to basketball practice? Can, you know, can we put this family outing off a couple of weeks because I need to do this? Like people really gave their time. They made sacrifices. And the fact that this is even going to be on the ballot in 2026, I think is a success in and of itself. Now, there's a lot of work to be done to educate the voting public. But, you know, I don't think gun control activists really thought that you guys would get the turnout that you did in terms of gathering those signatures and putting this.
Yeah. I mean, we were shocked, too. It was ourselves. We're like, wow, we did it. You know, but when you do, this is what happens when you come together. It's like, there's kind of no more excuse. Like, no more like, yeah, we'll let them do it. Like, no. Like, this is coming across the nation. So it's just time to put your differences aside, get it together so we all can have one common thing. And that's just freedom to do what we want to do. If I want to have an A-10 Warhawk, I want one. You know, I want one. But, you know, the wife would say otherwise. But
I want one versus the can I afford one? And
right. You know, but it's a good movement. I'm proud for what I did, but it's still a lot of work to do still. You know, it's not done just yet.
Not by a long shot. Now, folks that do want more information about 617 Defense, how do they find you?
You can go on the website, 617defense.com. I'm on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. You can email me at 617defense@gmail.com. Same thing for Naga. Naga, we're on for Instagram. And basically, yeah, that's about it. You can email us at nagaofnewengland.com. You know, we have our own website as well, nagaofnewengland.org. So these are the places you can get in contact with me or my vice president, Antonio Miles, or a couple other people from that was in the chapter of our chapter. So
awesome. Well, listen, Nolan, again, man, I really appreciate you taking some time. It took a little bit of doing for us to finally.
Yeah, it did. I'm
glad we
did.
We made it work. And I know we'll be talking again soon. If not in person, you got to come back on the show again soon.
Yeah. You know, I may have to just probably just, you know, I'm going to come anyways. Might like just pay for the table. Pay for the table. Like, hey, I'm here. You know, and then, see the guy, the 60 guys from the 60 was 60 Seconds and Gun guy.
Yeah.
Colonel West.
Yeah.
Who else is going to be there? What's the other guy's name? Forget his
name. Let's see. You got Adam Kraut. Hang on. I got the webpage right in front of me.
Adam Kraut. Who's the other guy?
Adam Kraut's got to be there. You've got Doug Hamlin, NRA Executive Vice President. Toby Leary, mm-hmm. obviously. Dick Heller, lead plaintiff in Heller versus DC.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry Yannis is going to be there. So, and then, you know, again, you're going to meet a bunch of great gun owners. So if folks were on the fence before about going to the Gold Dinner, now you got another reason because you can meet Nolan.
I'm not famous yet.
But see, you get a chance to meet Nolan before he gets famous, which is even cooler because then you can say, I knew Nolan way back when.
Yeah, I guess, but I even if I did, I'd still be immodest. So,
all right, man. Listen, we'll let you get back to your evening. But Nolan, thank you again for coming on the show, and look forward to talking to you again very soon.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And thanks once again to Nolan for joining us on the program. And I am so looking forward to seeing him in person. Glad that I was able to convince him to make the trip up to Boxborough, Massachusetts on April 19th. You could be a part of this, too. There are still some seats available if you want more information on the Gun Owners Action League's Big Dinner commemorating the 250th anniversary of the Battle of Lexington and Concord. Some great speakers. I mean, I'll be there, too. But you've got some great folks who are going to be there, like Colonel Alan West, Adam Kraut from Second Amendment Foundation, Doug Hamlin from NRA. Dick Heller's going to be there. Again, it's a great lineup. You can find out more information. You can buy tickets at the Gun Owners Action League website, goal.org, G-O-A-L.O-R-G. All right, let's turn our attention now to today's armed citizen story, our good deed of the day, and our recidivist report. We'll start there with a case out of the Sunshine State of Florida where a man on probation in a carjacking case has now been arrested and accused of a string of armed robberies in the Miami area. Yeah, 22-year-old Travion Colley was arrested on Monday on charges including armed robbery and possession of a firearm by a convicted felon, according to Miami-Dade jail records. NBC in Miami reports that Colley is facing charges in three separate robberies, including two that happened on March the 20th. In the first one, he allegedly approached a man who was in his car, held him at gunpoint, then stole his cell phone and his wallet. Didn't carjack him, just stole his stuff. About 20 minutes later, Colley allegedly held two female victims at gunpoint, robbed them of their purses. Surveillance footage showed Colley riding the same bicycle wearing the same clothes from the earlier robbery, according to an arrest report. And then on Monday, Colley is accused of approaching a rideshare driver in Miami and asking for a ride. Once he got inside the car, though, he then pulled a gun, demanded the driver's belongings, taking the driver's glasses and perfume from the center console and telling the driver, go for anything, and I'm telling you, I'm going to kill you. When Colley was spotted by officers a short time later, he had a handgun with him, along with the driver's glasses and the perfume. Also, the first victim's cell phone was later recovered and found to have Colley's fingerprint on it. Yeah, right now he's being held in jail without bond. But as NBC Miami reports, Colley had been arrested in 2019 on an attempted murder and armed robbery carjacking charge after police say he used a concrete block to beat a 73-year-old security guard at an apartment complex before stealing the guard's car. So he was arrested in 2019. NBC Miami reports that according to the Florida Department of Corrections records, Colley was sentenced to probation in 2022 that was set to end in November of 2028. Now, I suppose it is possible that Colley was given some credit for time spent behind bars while he was awaiting trial. But I mean, attempted murder, armed robbery, carjacking, beating a septuagenarian over the head with a concrete block, that's not something that should result in a probationary sentence. As far as I'm concerned, I mean, again, that happened in 2019. The sentence was apparently handed down in 2022. Travion Colley should still be in prison for what happened 6 years ago. The fact that he was sentenced to nothing more than probation, it sounds like, is an absolute travesty. And let's hope that the criminal justice system does not make that same mistake again. Now, today's good deed of the day. Actually, we've got an update for you. First of all, on yesterday's defensive gun use, and by the way, good deed of the day is coming, but let's get to today's armed citizen story first. Yesterday, we talked about this carjacking in Hardeeville, South Carolina. That really got no media attention whatsoever. And this happened more than a week ago. We had yet to get an update from the Hardeeville police. I'm not saying it was because I talked about it, but we did actually get an update yesterday. Not much of one, but the Hardeeville police chief actually did at least identify the attempted carjacker who was shot and killed, identified as 34-year-old Robert Payton, according to the Island Packet newspaper. The local coroner there does not have a hometown on file for Mr. Payton, nor do we know about any previous criminal history, but at least we now know the name of the suspect who was shot and killed. The police chief says that they're still wrapping up the investigation. They'll turn their findings over to the local prosecutor, but he anticipates that the investigation is going to continue to show that this was an act of self-defense. So there's your update on yesterday's armed citizen story. Now, in today's armed citizen story, a Nampa, Idaho man has been cleared in a shooting after prosecutors determined that this was, in fact, self-defense. Happened last year. Canyon County Prosecutor and Attorney Christopher Boyd announcing on Friday that Ryan Fleming will not face any charges in the shooting death of Kevin Villalobos back on September 29th of last year. The prosecutor cited Idaho Standard Ground Law determining that Mr. Fleming was justified in using lethal force. According to investigators, the 53-year-old Villalobos approached Fleming's home uninvited, intoxicated, according to KTVB in Boise, and then physically attacked Fleming, striking him on the head. Fleming then shot Villalobos, again, in self-defense. The prosecuting attorney, Christopher Boyd, says this was an unfortunate and tragic event that resulted in the loss of a life. However, under Idaho law, individuals have an unequivocal right to defend themselves, their families, and their homes from violent attacks. The ruling, according to the station in Boise, came after a months-long investigation that included witness statements, forensic analysis, physical evidence, DNA testing, and video footage. The prosecuting attorney said, "My office will not second-guess the fundamental right of self-defense." And good. You know, again, this... Even if, I mean, we've seen stories before. Somebody has too much to drink. Maybe they're under the influence of drugs. They go to a home that they think is their own, or they think maybe it's a friend's house. Bang on the door. Nobody comes to the door. And then they'll try to, get in there intoxicated. Say, "I'm going to break a window to try to get inside." Right? Well, the person on the other side of that door, person on the other side of that window, they don't know who's out there. They only know that a stranger is now invading their home. And they are entitled to use lethal force to protect their lives, even if that intoxicated individual may not have had any ill intent, at least at the moment. You don't know, by the way. Again, if they're under the influence, who knows what their reaction is going to be? And in this case, Villalobos ended up attacking a man who was in his home, who had every right to be there. Villalobos did not have a right to be there. And being drunk or being high is no defense when you present a threat to someone's life. You don't get to say, "Well, I'm sorry, I just wasn't in my right mind because I was bombed out of my skull." What matters here is whether or not Mr. Fleming had a reasonable belief that he was in danger of grievous bodily harm or physical injury or death. And when a stranger is invading your home and attacking you, it is not unreasonable to conclude that your life is in danger. So I think the prosecuting attorney made the right call here. And, you know, I you know the common sense advice that I would like to give, so I don't really need to give it, but, you know, going through life so drunk you don't know where you are or the home that you're trying to enter is that's just, I mean, not only is that a recipe for potentially getting shot, that's just not a good way to live in general. And it is a sad situation there. But again, I think the right call was made by the prosecuting attorney in Nampa, Idaho. Finally today, our good deed of the day in the right place at the right time, while unable to do the right thing. A story similar to yesterday's hero of the day, where a 16-year-old ended up grabbing his dad's ladder, racing over to a neighbor's home, rescuing a woman and her two kids when their house was on fire. Similar, but not identical. Neighbor kids, this time, saw smoke and alerted adults to what was going on, allowing authorities to rescue a man from a burning home in Swansea, Illinois. Nicole Goodman said her three kids, 6, 10, and 11, were hanging out after school on Friday, and they noticed smoke across the street. She said they were outside playing. They saw some smoke coming out of the neighbor's house. So our next-door neighbors were grilling, and so they ran next door, and they're like, call 911, call 911. And they did, and they were able to get everybody out safely. So that was a really good thing, and we were happy for it. Swansea Police Department, the first to arrive at that home, according to WQAD-TV. Chief Matt Blomberg said officers jumped into action when the man could not open the door. They actually had to break down the garage door. So there was an opening for the homeowner to climb out. Blomberg said our officers do fantastic work every day. People don't always get to see that. So this was just them working together to resolve what could have been a very serious situation. The man was taken to the local hospital for a treatment of non-life-threatening injuries. And again, this could have been much worse were it not for the quick thinking and the fast action of these kids seeing something out of the ordinary, seeing something that alarmed them and telling an adult. In fact, not only did they help save this guy's life, according to the local fire department there in Swansea, because crews were able to get there so quickly, the damage was actually contained to a single room in the, well, besides the garage door that had to be broken down, damage basically contained to the kitchen. So the house, not a total loss. The damages are repairable, and this homeowner is going to get to go back to his house with all of his stuff, except maybe some pots and pans and, you know, other items in the kitchen, because these kids were so on the ball. Mom says, tell your kids, you know, you want to look out for the people in their neighborhood and their neighborhood to help look out for them, teach them to do right, and they'll do the same. It doesn't always work out that way, but I am certainly glad that it did in this case. So, yeah, those three kids, don't know the names of Nicole Goodman's children there in Swansea, Illinois, but those three kids, 6, 10, and 11 years old, in the right place, at the right time, unable to do the right thing, we thank you for your very good deed. All right, that is going to do it for this edition of Bearing Arms, Cam & Company. I want to thank you for being a part of the program. And a special note, so, you know, every Wednesday, Hot Air's Ed Morrissey and I do our VIP Gold live chat. You can be a part of this, by the way, if you become a VIP Gold or VIP Platinum member of Town Hall Media. And if you use the promo code FIGHT, right now you can get 60% off your VIP, VIP Gold, or VIP Platinum membership. Just saying. Well, Ed is off tomorrow, but I am super duper thrilled that Bij Wellborn, you may know her as Tree Hugging Sister on X.com, is going to be sitting in for Ed. She does a great job at Hot Air. I have been reading her. I've been following her for years. I've never actually spoken to her in person or even like this. So I'm looking forward to not only hanging out with our VIP Gold members, but also hanging out with Bij tomorrow. It's going to be a great hour. Happens at 1:30 Eastern. Again, you can be a part of it. Just become a VIP Gold or VIP Platinum member today. Use that promo code FIGHT. Get 60% off your membership. And not only will you get a lot of great content, but you'll also be supporting the independent pro segment of journalism that we're doing at Bearing Arms, and your support is greatly appreciated. So thank you again. Have a great rest of your 2A Tuesday. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Until then, be well. Be safe. And be free.